Let's turn to the Bible. There are four portions of Scripture. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 31. Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 4. And Daniel chapter 5, verse 27. Okay, let's read 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17. Father, anoint this message. Let the message challenge us to follow your ways. Jesus' name I pray. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. We are the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome of those outside who do not obey the gospel of God? Then Hebrews 10:31. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hand of God. Then Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 4. The soul who sins shall die. Then Daniel chapter 5, verse 27. Thou art weighed in the balances and are found wanting. Okay, I'm going to title my sharing this morning, God's judgments on sin are certain. God's judgment of sin are certain. I was wondering whether I should share this message. Then Mike was singing the song, God is so good, God is so good. The goodness of God should lead all of us to repentance. Then Pastor Lily was saying that you have a choice. You have to make a choice in the prophecy, the word of God. You have a choice. Do you want to choose life or you want to choose death? So God's judgment on sin are certain, and we have to understand that truth. If you believe history, you must believe that our God is a God of judgment. In this age of unbelief, there are many who do not believe or do not want to believe that God, the God of heaven, will administer justice in respect to sin. See, He's a good God. How can He administer justice? They cannot reconcile to this truth because they always believe that God is a God of love. True, God is a God of love. Like we sing just all the songs, God is so good. We are chosen. We are the covenant people. We have all the goodness of God in our life because God is a God of love. Yet today, they also must know that He is a judge. God is a judge. There are two aspects of God's character that we have to understand clearly, which are His very nature. That is love and justice. God is love. God is a judge. You know, I look at my own life. Okay? I can tell you certainly that God does order justice when I sin. I live with God for 47 years. Okay, I've been a Christian for 47 years, 40 years as a missionary. My own personal experience, okay, don't talk about any one of you, talk about myself. My own personal experience is God will administer justice when I sin. Even as a senior pastor, He will administer justice when I sin. I have no doubt about it. I know that if I fall into sin repeatedly, note the word repeatedly, I will fall very sick. That's the way He dealt with me. He dealt with you in a different way. And my sickness is a judgment and a wake-up call to my soul, God telling me, what I'm doing is sin and it's not happy. Of course, I will stop sinning. Then the sickness will go. For you, God deals with you in different ways. God knows how to deal with you. God can deal with you in a variety of ways. The way God deals with you is the way God deals differently from me. The way God deals with me is the way God deals differently with Pastor Lily, with my children, with Joy. Now, God deals with her differently. With Jen, God deals with her differently. Jen is a job. Joy, I think, is a children. Sometimes through your families, your loved ones, your finance, your relationship, and of course, sickness. So you must understand the way God, you must learn how God deals with you. Sometimes He uses sicknesses. Sometimes He uses our loved one because we love them very much. Sometimes He allows financial lack. And I will tell you that my experience is backed up by the Bible. It is biblical. What then can we learn from this truth that God's judgment are certain? Number one, it is time for judgment to begin. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17 says this, "For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God." We are the household of God. Judgment. So you say there's no judgment? Judgment will begin at the household of God. The God of justice will administer judgment on the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will happen to those people outside the church is even worse. What will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? So in this context, the word judgment means purifying discipline. Means testing. Means refining you through suffering. Refining you through suffering. Some of us, we are very hard-headed. We are very So God, refine you through that. Purifying discipline is God's loving process of correcting, refining, shaping us, His children, that we will grow in holiness, we will grow in Christ-likeness. Discipline is different from punishment. Okay, discipline is different from punishment. Punishment is about justice for wrongdoing. Discipline is about training you for growth, training you for holiness. But I also want to point out this one truth. Okay, that for the recalcitrant Christian, God does administer justice for wrongdoing. Yeah, He does administer justice for wrongdoing. If you are evil, if you are wicked in your ways, and repeatedly you refuse to heed the warning of God, God will administer justice. He will carry out fair judgment. Okay, God will carry out judgment. He will carry out a fair judgment. Okay, it is right, it is lawful, it is morally correct. But if it is wrong, if it is not lawful, it is immoral, He will carry out judgment. How He carry out? He will examine evidence. Yeah, God will examine the evidence. God will apply the law. God will issue a fair verdict. And God will enforce consequences. I mean, I've seen this in my own life. He will examine the evidences. He will apply the law. He will issue a verdict. And He will enforce the consequences. I mean the Supreme Court, okay, I pray that the Philippine Supreme Court will be very fair. The judge in the Supreme Court in the Philippines administers justice. Why? To ensure laws are applied fairly. That's why the Bible says that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of God. You learn all these things. I want to tell you that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hand of God. This is from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 31. Paul is warning people, we have heard the gospel. We know the truth. We know the truth. We know what is right, what is wrong. But we deliberately reject or run away or turn away from the word of God, from Christ, and we walk our way. It means that we go on sinning deliberately. We go on sinning deliberately after receiving the word of truth, the knowledge of truth. Why is it called fearful? If you are attacked by someone, it's okay. If you are attacked by God, I want to tell you, it is very, very fearful. Okay? If you are judged by someone, maybe there is hope. But if you are judged by God, I tell you, you are finished. You are finished. Because God is holy. God is perfect. Nothing is hidden from His sight. And there's no appeal. There's no appeal. There is a final appeal. In the justice court, in the lower court, if you are found guilty, you can appeal to the higher court. Okay? But in God's higher court, there is no more appeal. When God issued the verdict, there is no more appeal. The big picture is God is not to be mocked. See, we are all children of God. We must. God is not mocked by your lifestyle. You must not misrepresent God. Grace must not be taken lightly. I want to tell you, God is a God of tremendous grace. Tremendous, tremendous, tremendous grace. But the grace of God is not to be taken lightly. The word of God is not to be taken carelessly. Of course, for most Christians, for us, I pray that it is a purifying discipline and not a punishment. When God disciplines, He's not rejecting you. He's refining you. He's treating you as His child. I pray that we are in this category. I find this to be very true in my own personal life. The best example was 2012. I realized that He was refining me. I want to tell you, when God refine you, it is tremendously painful. Very, very painful. You wish you are not in it. You want to get out of it. Yet in a refining process, God regarded me. I can tell you that God took me as His child. I would like to testify that I will certainly have turned for the worse if not for 2012. Yeah, I will turn for the worse. I will tell you that I will never become a better person. I will tell you that I may not make it to heaven if not for 2012. That's the refining process of God. That's God's love for me. I notice a very sad happening among God's children, and that is found in Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 3. I read to you. O Lord, do not your eyes look for truth? You have struck them down, but they felt no anguish. You have consumed them, but they refused correction. I pray that you are not like that. For some of us, okay, like the Israelite, we are spiritually blind, we are dull. And God allowed hardship God allowed hardship through invasion, enemies attack. Okay, this is addressing the group of Israelites, and it's also addressing us as people of God. God allowed hardship through enemies attack, invasion, economic trouble. Okay, your finances is affected, and instability. Family becomes unstable, job becomes insecure. Life becomes messy. Life becomes topsy-turvy. God allowed these sort of things. Invasion, enemies attack, economic trouble, instability. When He deals with us. But many of us, we do not connect all this suffering with our spiritual condition. We cannot. You know, when we are struck, you know, there's somebody. He is very wrong. Yet he got the courage to correct another person. He cannot see his own wrong. You got me now? We are like that. We cannot see our wrong. We only see other people's wrong. Very, very scary. We are spiritually blind. We experience consequences, yet we do not know that the consequence. Anything that happened to your life is for a purpose. It's God teaching you something. Yet we cannot understand. We cannot see. And we do not repent. The issue that God was attacking them secretly. The issues was that they are spiritually dull, spiritually blind. The issue was they cannot understand. Jeremiah used the word struck. In the Old Testament, when God struck you or struck His people, it meant He allowed consequences of your sin. Huh? Sin find you out. You are married, you have another woman. One day you are caught walking on the street with that married woman. He allowed the consequences of that sin. He withdrew protection. He permits enemy to discipline them. So let us learn well. Let us learn well. Like the song, let the goodness of God lead you to repentance. You know, God is a tremendously good God. Let the goodness, today I sense the presence of God. I sense the goodness of God. The goodness of God should lead us to repentance in our life. Let us learn well. Do not be like the people in Jeremiah's that knew not. Why they knew not? Because the sin has already hardened the heart. The heart has been hardened. Conviction is no more conviction. Conviction is part and normal of life. Correction is ignored. Warning signs are dismissed. We cannot see the warning signs. We cannot see. It is very interesting that many times God's people go through hardship and blame politics, blame the economy, blame other people. But never examine themselves. The fingers are always pointing, but never pointing at themselves. God's action is meant to wake you up, turn you, and restore you. Okay, so number two, sin is an abomination to God. Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 4, the soul who sins shall die. God hates sins with a holy hatred. And because He's a just God, He must punish sin. We learned this from the EE program. Okay, we learned this. He must punish sin. He punished sin. He punished our sin through Jesus Christ. Christ was punished on all of the human race behalf. He must punish sin because He's a just God. So He punishes by punishing Jesus Christ. We must understand the kind of God that is revealed in the Holy Scripture. God is both a God of love and a God of judgment. And I will tell you with certainty that this is non-negotiable. God is not a nebulous non-entity of sentimentalism. Rather, God is a real existent. God has power. God has authority. God is a living God. He's not purely emotionally soft with indulgent feelings on earth. No, 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 no. Having love without justice and kindness. No, no, He's not like that. He's not having love, kindness without holiness. No, He cannot. Oh, I can assure you in my 47 years of relationship with God, He's definitely not soft. Not soft. And He did not indulge me. He did not love me without justice. He had not shown kindness to me without holiness. He's not a cosmic grandfather. He's not a cosmic grandfather who smiles at everything and never confronts sin. I mean, I'm a grandfather. I'm going to have three grandchildren, and Jen is trying to have the next one. I love Elise a lot. Okay, Elise. Okay, they say that the children are the glory of the aged. It's true. It's very, very true. We love Elise a lot. And sometimes Elise did something wrong. We just ignore. Huh? I remember Joy wants her to... we were in this dinner table with the in-laws. And Joy wanted her to finish eating, and she just fidgeting, and she just cannot leave the table. Then I saw her that she was fidgeting. I know that she wants to get out of the restaurant. So I eat very fast. And she was sitting on the other corner. Joy was in between. Then when I finished, she said, "I finish." You know what she did? Carry me now. I pity her. Then I carry her out to play. Then the other two in-laws say that we spoiled Elise. Okay, but there was one time Elise want to climb down from the slope and steep down the slope, and I say, "Elise, don't. She doesn't care because she knows that I love her a lot. Then she wants to slide down. I say, "No." She cried and cried and cried. Then she asked Pastor Lily, "Why is that Grandy angry with me?" Then the Grammy said, "Oh, because she's afraid that you fall down. You fall down and slide down." Then when I carry her, "Grandy, why are you angry with me?" No, but I mean, God is not the grandfather. When there's something that is dangerous for you, God will take action. I assure you, in my 47 years of relationship with God, He's not soft. And He did not indulge me. He did not love me without justice. He did not show kindness to me without holiness. God is not like that. I learned this truth. He's holy. He has moral authority. He administers justice. His love is strong. His love is righteous. No weak and indulgent. No. Can you just forget it? Let me give this son a slight. No, there's no such thing. Yes, God loves us. God really loves us. I mean, today the song is about the tremendous grace and the goodness of God upon our life. Proof of this? Christ died for us. You want to know how much God loves you? Christ died for you. The greatest proof of hell is the reality of the fact that the Son of God went to the cross to die on your behalf. So yeah, you do not have to go to hell. Only the divine love, such divine God, He's God. He's God. We are ants. We are nothing. We are nobody. He's God. Yet He come down to the ants and died on behalf for the ants. You do not have to go to the hell. You don't have to go to hell because Christ's cross has provided a way to go, for you to go out. You don't have to go to hell one day. But if you did go to hell, if you do go to hell one day, you cannot blame God. You really cannot blame God. Because God has pointed to you the cross, the way out. This is the gospel truth. Yet 90% of the world's population, I'll tell you, they will reject the cross and they will go to hell. I want to tell you, they will go to hell. The Bible says, the soul who sins shall die. This is the gospel truth. This cannot be changed. This phrase cannot be changed. The soul who sins shall die. And it is repeated twice. Ezekiel chapter 8 verse 4, then Ezekiel 18:20. Ezekiel points to our day. Ezekiel is the book of the latter times, of the end times. Ezekiel is a book about the Russian war, which is happening soon, about the battle of Armageddon, about the return of Jesus Christ, about the coming judgment. Ezekiel talks about our time. And God's word ring out loud and clear, repeated twice. The soul who sins shall die. You must understand the context of Ezekiel day, which is very similar to our day. The people were blaming their ancestor. They were blaming their leaders. They were blaming their parents. You are saying it is the government's fault. Philippines is in such a big, bad shape because of the corruption of the politician. I'm suffering terribly because of my parents. They are the ones that mess up my life. They did not provide opportunity for me to go to university. God will respond to you by saying, each person is responsible for his own sin. I want to tell you that. The soul who sins shall die. Talks about personal accountability. The soul means the whole individual person. The whole living being. It does not mean the soul, the immaterial part of you. It also refers to the real person, the physical part of you. The person, it means the person who sins is accountable. The word die, shall die, means physical death, spiritual death, eternal death. Sin ultimately leads to physical death. You know, we have a member, used to be a leader of this church. Then he fell away from the church. Then he fell away further and further. And he, because he was not with the church, he went into more and more wrongdoings, wrong sins. He went deeper and deeper into sin. He went to the extent of having an extramarital affair with a married man, woman. The husband found out, get an assassin and kill him. He was shot a few times in the body and he died. Physical death. That is not the scary part. The scary part is, what about after death? Sin ultimately leads to physical death. Spiritual death is separation from God. Separation from God. God hates sins. How can you live with God when you have sin? How can you live with God one day if you love sin? Eternal death is final and everlasting separation from God as a result of unrepented sin and rejection of His salvation. Eternal death is not annihilation as believed by the Seventh-day Adventists. Okay? The Seventh-day Adventist teaching is that once you die, you are no more. You are annihilated. I feel that that is a loophole. I mean, if there's such a law that after you die, you'll be annihilated, I think I'll go and do all the evil things because I won't be punished. I will just cease to exist. It's not. It cannot. It is a conscious separate. You want to understand this truth? It's a very scary thing. It is a conscious separation from life. And you are separated from life. You are separated from the blessing of God. The Bible speaks of eternal death in several places. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. That is eternal death. Revelation 20:14, it talks about the second death. Okay? There is a second death. The first death is you die right now. The second death is that you'll be cast into the lake of fire. That's the second death. Okay? I pray that you won't. That's why Paul said, don't die twice. Die once. Okay? To die once is really terrible, the physical death. To die twice is even worse. That's the second death. Matthew talk about eternal punishment. It's not punishment. It is eternal punishment. Matthew 25:46. Eternal death is a second death. Eternal death. Okay, I want you to think carefully about eternal death. No fellowship with God. No more access to His grace. No more chancel. No hopes of restoration. Full accountability under divine justice. I want you to think about all these things. Okay, when you're still alive, there's grace. But once you die eternally, you have no more grace. You have no more fellowship with God. You have full accountability for your action. And what is God? God is a source of joy. God is a source of light. God is a source of peace. God is a source of life. You have no more joy. You have no more peace. You have no more life. You have no more light. Every day is darkness. I mean, I hate brownout. Hate it so much that I have to have a generator. It's excruciating. It's very trouble. It's very mind limiting when you have brownout. I want to tell you, eternal death is that it is permanent brownout. Permanent. No more light. No more life. You don't know what is joy anymore. You will never experience joy anymore in life. You know, I personally believe that the people that sing have a happier life, live longer. We come to church, we sing. There are many people that have never sing in life because they don't come to church. They don't come to church. And I just want to tell you that there is no more joy. When you sing, you have joy. That means you cannot sing anymore. You have no more joy. To be eternally separated from God is to lose all these things. Lose all these things. Number three. God judges individuals and nation. Daniel 5:17. Thou art weighed in the balances. You know it's balances. Okay, you go to the market. Okay, now they have machine. Okay, they have the electronic machine. But usually in the past, it's balances. Thou art weighed in the balances and are found wanting. Your sin is heavier. In the cradle of human history, we find God pronouncing a curse on our first parents on account of their transgression. He pronounced a curse even on earth on account of their transgression. Then after a while, sin abounded on earth. That is 1,000 years later. 1,000 years, just imagine 1,000 years later after the beginning of creation. Sin has abounded so much that God has to execute judgment on the whole human race. God executed judgment on the whole human race except Noah. Then upon the wicked nation of Egypt, God did not send one. God sent 10 plagues that wipe out the whole Egyptian empire. The first empire that actually existed in the history book. God wiped them out with 10 plagues. Canaan, when they enter Canaan, with one time, 20 odd kings or countries were wiped out in one sweeping purge. The proud Assyrian, God sent destruction. The haughty Babylonian Empire, God sent the thunderous judgment. Let's look at Babylonian Empire. Babylonian Empire is the head of gold, the statue, the head of gold. Okay? God use a hand to write on the wall. The first neon sign that blazed the fateful doom. And the word is, thou art weighed in the balances and thou art found wanting. You see, you must understand this. Belshazzar, okay, he's the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. He had a great feast, and you know what he did? He used the utensils that is found in the temple, they are holy, to become their cup for pouring wine. And suddenly, because they did that, suddenly a handwriting appeared on the wall. Mini, mini, tekau, pasin. Daniel interpreted it as, thou art found in the balances and wall. Tekau means weigh in the balances. In ancient time, balances or scales are used to weigh gold, silver, and other valuables. Being weighed means you are examining carefully. You are being examined carefully. God is always a fair God. God gives chances again and again. Why do I know that? Because when Nineveh repented, God stopped the judgment. But here, Belshazzar went overboard. God was measuring, and God will measure yours. Belshazzar character, Belshazzar action, Belshazzar heart. One thing means you are lacking. It is insufficient, it's deficient. In other words, Belshazzar did not measure up to God's standard. Did you measure up to God's standard? Belshazzar arrogance, sacrilege, and pride reveal a heart unfit to rule. Mini means your days are numbered. It's a very scary thing. Your days are numbered. God has numbered the days of Belshazzar. God has numbered the days of the Babylonian kingdom. You must remember the statue, the most powerful being, the kingdom in the statue was the head, the goal. The lesson is God controls history. Every kingdom has a timeline. The second mini is repeated for emphasis. It underscores certainly, it will certainly come to pass. It is as if God saying, your days are numbered. If a prophet comes to you and says that your days are numbered, I tell you, you are finished. How fast? That very night, Belshazzar was killed. That very night, the Babylonian kingdom was wiped out. The Medo-Persian Empire took over. How fast? How swift? That very night. God's warning are serious, cannot be ignored. Passing means your kingdom is divided. Passing means your life is divided. Belshazzar is a very good example of God judging an individual as well as a nation. The action was swift, very swift. You know, I remember that. Sichuan, he has two daughters, and they are having one child after another. And Sichuan was saying that it's a different thing to have a grandchild. I said, but we don't want our children, doesn't want to have children. He said, they are very fun to have. That in the blink of an eye, within 3 years, we have three grandchildren. So fast. Pastor Carlos was saying that, cannot believe, just in the span of 3 years, you have three grandchildren. It's very fast. That is God. When the blessing of God comes, it's fast and swift. When the judgment of God comes, when you are found in the balances, you are found wanting, it is swift, it is fast. Very fast, and you just wake up, hey, what happened? It's over already. I learned in my 40 years as a senior pastor, God is a fair God. God examines the person carefully, and God is merciful. He gives chances again and again. But when God finally judges, it's fast. He judges a character, he judges an action, he judges a heart, and if she is found not measuring up to the standard, is fast, is swift and fast. How to apply it to our life? God evaluates our life, our moral, spiritual, ethical life, our deficiency, and see them clearly. Don't be a prideful person. Pride, injustice, rebellion against God cannot be hidden. Just like Belshazzar. Belshazzar was a very successful person externally. But inwardly, he was lacking. I mean, he was a king of the most powerful empire. But inside, he was lacking. And the consequences were so swift, so fast. That very night, he saw the writing. Daniel came and explained that very night. So fast and swift. He was killed. Showing that God's judgment is swift and decisive. What is the application? Do a self-examination. Be humble, people. Be humble. All of this, I'm going to be humble. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and He shall lift you up. Are we living by God's standard or human standard? God don't judge by public opinion. God judge by Bible standard. Pride and arrogance bring serious consequences. I pray that our church will always be a very humble church. Very humble, not prideful. God's evaluation is ultimate, not public opinion. Not public. The majority are always wrong. I want to tell you something. The majority are always wrong. The minority are often right. If you know the Bible well. What is a moral application of Daniel chapter 5 verse 7? Examine your life spiritually and morally. Humility and obedience are so crucial. Recognize God see beyond appearances. You look very fine to many Christians. But what you did behind, God sees. He weighs your heart. Take God's warning seriously before it is too late. Number 4, scripture clear proclamation concerning judgment. It is well that we note with a new emphasis some of the many scriptures which speaks on the final day of God's righteous judgment on this earth and its wicked inhabitants. Let's look at Acts chapter 17 verse 31. He had appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he had ordained. Note the phrase, he has appointed a day. God's is not random or uncertain. History is moving forward towards that direction, towards the appointed day of judgment. Judgment is not a possibility. Judgment is a certainty. Listen, judgment is not a possibility. Judgment is a certainty. You look at all these politicians. They swindle and they explain themselves out. Explain themselves out. You can explain 1,000 times, 1,000,000 times. You stand before God one day. All the things that you have done will still come out. Without the blood of Jesus Christ. It will still come out. That's why it's so wonderful to have Jesus. We have a clean slate. All our sins are paid by Jesus Christ. God's patience does not mean there's no accountability. Hey, nothing happened to me. I did this. Hey, nothing happened to me. I did this. Hey, nothing happened to me. I did this. I will do it again. Nothing happened to me. I will do it again. I will do it again. He will judge the world, not Israel, not just believers, but the world. Every nation, every culture, every generation, no one is exempted. Whether it's religious, rural, moral, powerful, or unknown, everyone is. By the man whom he had ordained. Who is that man? The crucified Christ. The risen Lord. The appointed judge. That's why no religion, I just be very honest with you, okay? I cannot share this in Singapore. No religion can save you except Jesus Christ. Why? Because every religious leader since ancient time have all sinned. How can a sinner save another sinner? How cannot? Only Christ can save you. That's why you have to, I mean, the song, out of millions, you chose me. It is a privilege to be in this church. It is a privilege to be a child of God. You are among the less than 10% that is saved. And God said, don't take your salvation lightly. Many of us, we take our salvation so lightly. The prophet Joel talks about the coming judgment. He said this, blow you the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm in the holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble. For the day of the Lord cometh. It is night at hand. It is very near. A day of darkness and gloominess. A day of clouds and thick darkness. As the morning spread upon the mountain. A fire defiled before them. And behind them a flame burned. And the land was like the Garden of Eden. Then it became a desolate wilderness. Nothing shall escape. Before their faces the people will be much pain. All their faces will gather blackness. I don't have time to quote all other scriptures. Isaiah talk about it. Lift up the heavens. The heavens will wax away like smoke. David talk about the mighty God coming down. Daniel talk about the garment. Peter say, the day come as a thief in the night. Swift again, swift. In which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt away with fervent heat. The earth also and the work therein shall be burned up. Hundreds of scriptures declare that God's judgment on sin are certain. 2,000 years ago, God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to warn us of the coming kingdom. He will repeatedly say when He was on earth, behold, the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is at hand. I'm coming. It's at hand. We are the soul who sin and will surely die. Yet He went to the cross, who was without sin, to pay for our sin, so that He bore our weaknesses and our sin. The one who will judge the world first allow Himself to be judged, not that He deserved judgment, but because of us. But when He was resurrected, it was God's declaration that Jesus is Lord. You do not have to be judged in the coming judgment. You do not have to be judged in this coming judgment that is coming soon. You do not have to be. Your sin was judged at the cross. Your righteousness is in Jesus. There's no condemnation for those who are in Jesus. You have to walk in holiness with Jesus. I conclude. Our God is the God of holiness. He hates sins. He's a God of justice and must punish sin. But He's also a God of love and love the sinners, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. It is not necessary for any man to perish in the coming judgment, because God has loved you, that if you believe in Him, you shall not die. He did not send the Son to condemn you. He sent the Son that through Him, you can be saved. And Jesus said, now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. We are all Christians. Okay, we are all Christian. Say, God, you know, many a time, I know that this church talks a lot about grace, talks about the goodness of God. There's no denial that God is a good God. God is a tremendous grace. Okay, but the grace of God without the justice of God will not lead you to heaven. You know, Pastor Lily was complaining to this guy. We've really given him chance. Really given him chance. He begged for mercy, but gave him mercy. And he still want to continue that way. I want to tell you, Pastor Lilevi will give him mercy. And he'll continue. God will not give him mercy. Now is the acceptable time. I want to sing this song. The goodness, God, you're so good. God, you're so good. I want you to think of the goodness of God. The goodness of God will lead you to repentance. The goodness of God will lead you to repentance.
And I invite you to come to the altar, and I want you to think of the goodness of God, and I want you to repent. And say, God, help me. Help me to stick close to you. Help me to experience your goodness in my life. Help me to walk in your way. Shall we all stand up, musician?